ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. As workers picket, talks are set to resume tomorrow between the United Auto Workers and the big three car makers. Nearly 13,000 UAW members walked off the job Friday in a historic strike against Ford, GM, and Stellantis. On CBS's Face the Nation, UAW President Sean Fain.
We're asking for our fair share in this economy and the fruits of our labor.
The union says that fair share includes a 40% pay raise. Cleanup is underway along the New England coast and Maritime Canada after the remnants of Hurricane Lee pummeled the region, the storm being blamed for one death in Maine. Two people in New York City arrested and charged with murder, manslaughter, and various drug charges after a one-year-old boy died and three other children were hospitalized for a suspected opioid exposure at a daycare center in the Bronx. California Governor Gavin Newsom says he's mourning the loss of 30-year-old Los Angeles County Deputy Ryan Klunkenbrumer, shot in his patrol car outside of the Palmdale station in an apparent ambush, suspected motive unknown. This is ABC News. In 2 weeks, the government runs out of money. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy urging his Republican caucus to cooperate with Democrats on the legislation avoiding a shutdown. ABC News political director Rick Klein says the GOP is the source of the congressional logjam.
We wouldn't be having a spending crisis if not for the divisions among House Republicans. I think that's very clear on the facts. They'll make whatever case they can, but a shutdown is not a good scenario for the American people. And frankly, as McCarthy himself has warned his own members, it's not good for the Republican Party for them to air their dirty internal laundry in this fashion.
Beware of a new utility bill scam. Police in Texas warning that businesses and residents across the state are receiving bogus phone calls about unpaid water bills. The thieves demand immediate payments through suspicious online links sent to victims. City of Louisville's spokesperson Matt Mertucci says a local hotel was the most recent target.
They found it weird enough that they actually came into our water department.
But not before they lost thousands of dollars. This is ABC News.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, oh, yeah, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
it was the same for about five
like a
minutes.
Week. Whoever was excited, then they moved on.
Wow, it's like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Mino and the Mayor.
Hey, Mike, of all the people that your wife knew in Two Rivers, did any of them have a Shetland pony?
Mike, you're a new listener. John, for some reason,
the only person in the history of Two Rivers that had a Shetland pony when he was a kid.
Star. He was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
He was great. I'd come home from school, ride him. He's a great horse. And his Shetland pony, we had him. We didn't. It was great.
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The U.S. House is running out of time to pass spending bills in time to avoid a government shutdown. As Mike Moan reports, advocates are worried about how a shutdown could hurt kids and young adults in Wisconsin.
House Republicans had floated ideas such as slashing funding for the Supplemental Nutrition Program for women, infants, and children. Dahi Wolf with the Wisconsin group Kids Forward says the proposed cuts could lead to 71,000 eligible participants in Wisconsin being denied WIC benefits. He warns about creating negative outcomes for these individuals.
Every step of the way, obviously, kids and families need support, but if we don't do it early, then we pay for it later.
He notes that these budget concerns come as Wisconsin families brace for child care funding woes at the state level. Governor Tony Evers has scheduled a special session in hopes of making permanent a pandemic-related subsidy program. State Republicans recently voted to let it expire. In Washington, Freedom Caucus members say they want tighter spending after feeling ignored in the recent debt ceiling debate. Wolf says other spending proposals would result in 1,000 Wisconsin preschoolers losing access to Head Start and 1,400 young people being left out of job training programs. He says households that rely on these programs don't need any more barriers being put in their way.
These are all working people in our state that are working poor because we've refused to raise the minimum wage. We've refused to, you know, come up with jobs that pay a living wage and to support, you know, families and children.
Congress needs to adopt a new spending plan by October 1st to avoid a government shutdown. With deep divisions still in place, including among moderate Republicans and far-right members, there's growing concern a deal won't be reached in time. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
He opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's joking how. Everybody's joking now.
The Vec.
Ramaswamy.
Cease and desist. Who would be worse? Mike Pence. I mean, Ron DeSantis trying to rap also would be wildly cringy.
Ron DeSantis trying to feel feelings is weird enough. I rapping.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
7:06 on a Friday morning, September 15th. Welcome back to Up North News Radio on this National Double Cheeseburger Day. Kristen Lyerly's here. There's so many days today. National Doodle Day, if you're a doodler. Not the dog. National Creme de Menthe Day, for those people that like cough syrup. National Felt Hat and Make a Hat Day. Now, the felt hat I'm actually going to be wearing later today for Oktoberfest in Chippewa Falls. Oh. So I've got a little a green little felt hat with a little feather, you know, coming out of it. Mm-hmm. It's National Linguini Day. It's National Online Learning Day. It's POWMIA Recognition Day. It's International Day of Democracy. It's World Afro Day. And it's International Dot Day. Is there a paperclip day? Can we just grab any inanimate object and dedicate a day? That apparently there are no rules anymore on what gets a day.
I can't
right?
keep up. I can't keep up.
I can't either. But hey, every group, it's a reason to either celebrate something or to have a sale, you know, or whatever the case may be. Whatever works. So, hey, we're going to be talking to Dan Schumacher later this hour about sports. We're going to be talking to Mark Jacob later this hour about media coverage, probably about the goings-on in the Georgia case for former President Trump and the United Auto Workers strike and other things as well. And let's see, we'll have a Brewers update, a weatherology forecast. But really, we want to get started while Kristen's here. And normally not on Fridays, but she was traveling yesterday when the news came down that Planned Parenthood announced it would resume abortion care services at two Wisconsin clinics after a judge determined that the arcane language in an 1849 law is not actually an abortion ban. And again, it's not easy language to read, but you know, as she looked at it, and I think others would agree, if you look at it, it was more about, you know, feticide and, you know, keeping women safe from abuse. It had nothing to do with abortion care. And so, Kristen, you are is it an intervener in the lawsuit?
Yeah, I'm a plaintiff intervener, which means that I'm on the lawsuit because it actually directly affects me. It's the reason that I'm here practicing in Arizona instead of home where I'd like to be taking care of my friends and neighbors.
Yeah. And so the Planned Parenthood announcement, again, they were providing services, just not abortion care services that can be resumed. And again, means that women will not have to travel so far out of state for the care they need during, you know, troubled pregnancies and you know, all manner of conditions.
Yeah, the bulk of the care that Planned Parenthood provides actually isn't abortion care. It's screening for sexually transmitted infections. It's cancer screening. It's providing birth control. It's preventive care. There are so many different things that Planned Parenthood does. But when abortion care was taken away, we had obviously no access to abortions in Wisconsin. Now we're bringing it back on Monday in Madison and in Milwaukee. We're hoping that we're going to be able to bring it back in Sheboygan soon, but we've got some logistical barriers to set up there. So fingers crossed, that's my home site. And I know how much the people of Northeastern Wisconsin and Northern Wisconsin need that site to be open. So we're going to keep pushing, but this is just the beginning of a very, very long road.
And again, by long road, meaning, as we mentioned briefly at the end of the last hour, that, you know, this is a step that is, you know, that works for women who don't have to travel, especially women who are in, you know, medical peril, but it certainly doesn't, you know, roll back the Dobbs decision, for example.
No, not at all. And, you know, keep in mind that in Wisconsin before Dobbs, abortion was severely restricted. There were only 4 clinics in Milwaukee, Madison, and Sheboygan. So the entire rest of the state had no access to abortion care. When I was working in Sheboygan, I would see people who would drive 3 hours in each direction just to sit down and have a counseling visit, have to drive all the way back because there's a 24-hour waiting period, drive all the way back again just to be handed a pill by a doctor, the same doctor, because of all of these arbitrary political barriers that our lawmakers, our Republican lawmakers, have been putting in women's way so that we can't get access to fundamental health care. So this is where, you know, it's great to be able to have access back in Madison and Milwaukee, but we need Sheboygan, we need Green Bay, we need Eau Claire, we need all of these different places, because women all across the state, I guarantee you, women all across the state need abortion care.
And the thing is, again, life is tough enough in parts of rural Wisconsin. We talk about, care deserts. We talk about child care deserts. We talk about food deserts where there's not a decent grocery store. Life's hard in these areas. And it's, mm-hmm. It gets harder when politicians decide that they know better than women and their doctors about the kind of care that should be provided, when goodness knows there's other things they could be working on other than interfering in people's lives and trying to fire Supreme Court justices and nonpartisan elections officials. It seems like the priorities might be a little messed up in Madison, to put it briefly.
Might be. You know, like, nobody wants a politician making their personal healthcare decisions for them. Whether we're talking about when you get your preventive care screening or whether you get cancer treatment, politicians have no right to be in the exam room with you. So let's continue to help them move out so that we, as individuals, as Wisconsinites, can make our own personal healthcare decisions with the counsel of our medical professionals, our family, our faith leaders, the people who we really trust and rely on.
Back more with Dr. Lyerly coming up. We're going to take a break here. We're going to get your weatherology forecast from Jennifer Fuchitsky. We're going to find out how the Brewers did against Miami, wrapping up that 4-game series. And then still ahead, Mark Jacob and Dan Schumacher. Wherever you are listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, when you're here for 2 hours every morning, you're up north, and we'll be right back.
Mino and the Mayor.
What do you think of this team, Brady, with the new quarterback?
It's such a wild card because you go all the way back to Aaron Rodgers. What's been cool about my football experience is I've seen this. Aaron was a good player. Nobody ever expected him to become a first ballot Hall of Famer, especially under the circumstances of having to replace a Hall of Famer, which is rare.
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold. 1993 to 1999. And again, 2001 to 2003. 125 games. 292 tackles. 7 sacks. And a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats. And there's more to life than football. You're about to find out. Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown. Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW. And on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn.
But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Happy birthday to Jennifer Nettles from Sugarland.
I don't want to get a baby, let's turn off the phone. I don't want to go to work today or even put my makeup on.
Jennifer Nettles is 49 years old today. We'll have more birthdays, anniversaries, and other notes in our history lesson and music break coming up a little later this hour. Brandon Woodruff delivered Milwaukee's first complete game shutout since 2021, and the Brewers collected a season-high 17 hits in a blowout of the Miami Marlins 12-0 last night at American Family Field. 12 runs on 17 hits. You think they could have given at least one of those to Corbin Burns against Yankees pitching on Sunday, but no. Anyway, the Cubs won as well, so the Brewers maintain a three-game lead in the National League Central Division. The Brewers over the weekend added Josh Donaldson, the one-time American League MVP. He won that in 2015 with Toronto. Donaldson joined the club and knocked in a run with his first at-bat. Christian Yelich missed a third straight game with lower back tightness, but the club is saying that there doesn't appear to be anything serious about it. Freddy Peralta will pitch for the Brewers tonight. They've got Miami tonight, tomorrow night, and then again on Thursday afternoon. If you're in the Richland Center area, you can catch the Brewers game on WRCE News from the Center, 107.7 and 1450 AM. In the Fox Valley, catch the Brewers on Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 and 1100 AM. All right, let's unpack the news here, and if you have a comment or a question along the way, or something you want to vent about or share with a statewide radio audience, you can call the studio at 844-967-2789, and we're going to start with Megan Wolf. Megan Wolf is the administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. The Wisconsin Elections Commission was something created by Republican legislators around 2015, if memory serves me right, because the previous group that investigated elections, the Government Accountability Board, they had an investigation that was getting just a little too close to uncovering some potentially illegal activities by the Scott Walker campaign. So Republican lawmakers got rid of it, created the Wisconsin Elections Commission, which was built for gridlock. They put it in intentionally with three Republicans and three Democrats, and then they make all the decisions. But then there's an administrator who is kind of the day-to-day chief operating officer of the Elections Commission. That's Megan Wolf. She's the administrator. She is nationally recognized. She is nationally respected. People know that Wisconsin elections are clean. They are accurate. They are fair. She kept people safe during the pandemic. But because she's the one that's most in public view, she's also become the scapegoat for every crackpot conspiracy theorist or Trump foot soldier who needs somebody to blame other than Donald Trump for Donald Trump losing to Joe Biden here in Wisconsin. And that would all be fine if it stayed at the crackpot level. But unfortunately, some of those crackpots appear to be in the Wisconsin legislature, because there is now a move afoot to fire Megan Wolf, even though she can't really be fired because of a process that Republicans set up a couple of years ago to protect one of their people from being let go, from being replaced. So let's back up a bit and see what we're talking about here. Megan Wolf's term ended on June 30th. In the olden days, which was not that very long ago, unless you were renominated, you were done at the end of your term. And the way the process is supposed to work is that the governor or the appropriate body, in this case, the Elections Commission, would nominate somebody or renominate that same person. And then the state Senate would vote to either confirm that person or to reject the nomination. And if the person serving in that office and your nomination is rejected, you're essentially fired. And that all sounds very above board. That's the way the process worked for the longest time. But then a few years back, shortly after Tony Evers was elected governor, one of the members of the state Natural Resources Board got the idea that he could stay on the board if the Senate, controlled by Republicans, just simply kind of sort of forgot to get around to confirming Governor Evers' nominee to serve on the board and replace him. And we know this is true because later investigations found the emails, the text messages, and the other correspondence between this Natural Resources Board squatter, Fred Prenn, a gun shop owner and dentist from the Wausau area, and Republican legislators and lobbyists and Scott Walker himself. So what you have there is an actual conspiracy to stay on the Natural Resources Board, deny Governor Evers his nominee on the board to serve there, deny the governor having a majority of members on the board, even though Evers is the duly elected governor and Scott Walker lost. So this all went to the state Supreme Court, which was, as you know, dominated at that point by conservative justices. And they said, yep, got no problem here. If the Senate hasn't confirmed any replacement, then this guy gets to stay, even though his term has expired. That's the rule now, as set up through Republicans and conservatives on the state Supreme Court. So here Megan Wolf is at the end of her term now this summer. And based on these new rules, she gets to stay there until the Elections Commission either nominates somebody new or renominates her for the Senate to vote on. But until the Elections Commission either provides that nomination or renomination or recommendation not to nominate somebody, until that happens, the Senate has nothing to vote on. The Senate has nothing in front of them. At one point, the three Republican members of the Elections Commission said, let's put Megan Wolf's name up for renomination, basically because they knew that Republicans in the state Senate wanted to reject her renomination, which would essentially fire her, making her the scapegoat for Trump losing in 2020. That was the plan. The three Democrats on the Wisconsin Elections Commission said, no thanks, we're not going along with that. Megan Wolf is doing a fine job, even though her term has expired. She's doing good work, so we're not going to take part in this little game. We're going to abstain. So the vote was 3-0 to advance Megan Wolf's renomination to the state Senate. The vote was 3-0. That's not a majority. The law is very clear. Things only advance out of the Elections Commission with 4 votes or more. Again, that's the way Republicans set up the rules. But Republican senators a few weeks back said, well, those rules that we helped write don't apply to us anymore. We're going to imagine that the Elections Commission has submitted Megan Wolf's name for renomination, and we're going to take it up so that we can reject it and therefore fire her. It's not a real renomination. Again, do the SpongeBob SquarePants thing with your hands and make the little rainbow. It's all in their imagination. So they sent it to committee, and yesterday, on September 11th, through a paper ballot vote, the Republicans on the committee voted to reject her nomination and advance that to the full Senate for a vote, which could happen this early as Thursday. So the renomination is imaginary. The vote that might be taken as early as this week in the state Senate is imaginary. But the legal drama and the bill that you'll end up paying for the legal drama to follow is going to be very real. Because, again, as determined not just by people watching this, but by the state attorney general, and not just the Democratic state attorney general, but the legislature's own lawyers. Remember, the legislature's under Republican control. The lawyers who work for the legislature have said There's no nomination here because it didn't get a majority vote, four votes, from the Elections Commission. This is all a farce. It's all made up. And they take a vote on 9/11 to undermine democracy further. And a couple of weeks back, when they first started discussing this, the public hearing phase of this imaginary renomination, yeah, there were a few things said about Megan Wolf, but by and large, it was a circus. It was a parade of all the old 2020 charlatans coming forward and talking about the secret cabal that was out there to somehow steal the election from Donald Trump, when he just didn't get more votes, for reasons we continue finding out as more people go, I don't support this guy anymore. I thought he had some fresh ideas back in 2016, but we're done with him. More Americans continue seeing that, especially as they see the ones who are still clinging to Trump are also embracing these things that go against democracy, that try to undermine the will of the voters. And this is only the latest example of Republicans trying to undermine democracy. It is absolutely going hand in hand with their efforts to impeach newly elected Justice Janet Protasiewicz, who was elected by a landslide by Wisconsin standards, an 11-point victory over a conservative former justice. And yet they're moving to possibly impeach her because of things that she said. Well, the Associated Press looked into that and put out a report yesterday, and we have a copy of that story over at upnorthnewswi.com. And if you head over there, you'll see the Associated Press story where they have reviewed comments made by all of the justices and all of the candidates over the years, and they have spoken out about all sorts of issues. There was the conservative justice who spoke in favor of gun rights, even producing a political mailer showing her brandishing a shotgun and wearing a hat promoting the NRA. Another previously called Planned Parenthood a wicked organization. A former conservative justice faced criticism after a campaign filled with misleading information about crime that raised questions about whether he could be impartial in cases involving certain defendants. And yet, even though both conservatives and liberals over the years have weighed in on topics that could eventually come before the court, sometimes in very strong language, by the way, despite all that, this is the first time that Republicans, who've controlled the legislature for a dozen years, this is the first time they've proposed impeaching a justice for something that was said on the campaign trail. And they want to tell you, well, this is different. There's something different about what Janet Protasiewicz said. There's nothing that's different compared to what these folks said about abortion and about the NRA and about gun rights. Jay Heck, the director of Common Cause, a government watchdog group, said to the AP, it is self-serving, selective outrage. Where was their outrage and their demands for recusal when conservatives in the past have weighed in about their values? Well, because their values, much like their rules, only apply when it's convenient for them. When it's not convenient, you can change the rules. And then even after you change the rules, you can pretend they don't exist anymore. And you can get what you want done through your imagination. Let's take a break. We'll come back and get the lighter side of things, The Uplift with Christina Lorre, talking about stories coming up in our newsletter at Up North News. We'll be back right after this break. You're up north.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. As workers picket, talks are set to resume tomorrow between the United Auto Workers and the big three car makers. Nearly 13,000 UAW members walked off the job Friday in a historic strike against Ford, GM, and Stellantis. On CBS's Face the Nation, UAW President Sean Fain.
We're asking for our fair share in this economy and the fruits of our labor.
The union says that fair share includes a 40% pay raise. Cleanup is underway along the New England coast and Maritime Canada after the remnants of Hurricane Lee pummeled the region, the storm being blamed for one death in Maine. Two people in New York City arrested and charged with murder, manslaughter, and various drug charges after a one-year-old boy died and three other children were hospitalized for a suspected opioid exposure at a daycare center in the Bronx. California Governor Gavin Newsom says he's mourning the loss of 30-year-old Los Angeles County Deputy Ryan Klunkenbrumer, shot in his patrol car outside of the Palmdale station in an apparent ambush, suspected motive unknown. This is ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Ready to ride?
Just let me get my flip-flops on.
Whoa, Mom and Dad are going for a ride without their protective gear.
Quick, grab the checklist. I'll grab the gear.
Just where do you two think you're going without your safety gear?
Yeah, you know how we feel about riding without your gear.
Well, it's so nice out.
And we're only going for a short ride.
Not before you put all this gear on, you're not.
But...
riding pants?
Okay.
Check.
Motorcycle boots?
Bye-bye, flip-flops.
Check.
Armored jackets?
Nice.
Check.
Riding gloves?
Two pairs.
Check.
Last but not least, full face helmets.
Check.
Now you're ready to ride.
And you look cool.
All the gear, all the time. Zero in Wisconsin. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Be home on time for dinner.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
Spin the globe and pick where you would go this summer at Ho-Chunk Gaming Acusa. We'll be giving away a vacation of your dreams with our Vacation Your Way promotion. Throughout the month of September, you can earn entries for your chance to be one of 10 lucky winners on September 30th, with one grand prize winner receiving a travel certificate for anywhere your heart desires. Only at Ho-Chunk Gaming Acusa, your place to play. For complete contest rules, see the Rewards Club booth at Ho-Chunk Gaming Acusa. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor.
Show the world that age is just a number. Ho-Chunk Gaming Acusa presents the golden days for those who are 50 and wiser. Turn up your excitement, because each Tuesday from July to December, you can earn 25 same-day slot points and $10 rewards play. Redeem up to four times. The golden days await at Ho-Chunk Gaming Acusa, where the only thing more exciting than your luck is the fun you'll have. For complete contest rules, see the Rewards Club booth at Ho-Chunk Gaming Acusa. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor.
The Todd Alba Show.
Two kinds of politicians, those who want to be and those who want to do. Tommy Thompson, John McCain, I would put Tony Evers in this category. They're guys who are running because there were things that they wanted to do.
The Todd Alba Show.
Now contrast that to Hillary Clinton, I would argue, or Donald Trump. Sure, there are things they want to do, but ultimately, they are like Scott Walker. They were people who want to be.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Most of us are not just red or blue. We're kind of purple. We want to do what's right while protecting our individual freedoms.
Join the Rational Revolution with hosts Chris Elfheim and Emily Cephos Thursday evenings from 7 to 8 on WGBW, WISS, and the Civic Media app.
It's Motherhood Monday. That's when our friends from Motherhood for Good join us to talk about ways to improve our community, how working parents can help make a difference. And that might include talking to their local lawmakers, maybe physicians in their community, about the ways that these same legislators could make a difference, could make our community safer, could take advantage of, say, this new fall legislative session to do something in the area of gun safety. That's one of the topics we'll be covering today. Danielle is here. Danielle Scampini-Lynn and Kate Duffy are here from Motherhood for Good. Their guest this week is Dr. Kelly Snooks. It's nice to have you all here. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, no, it's great to have you here. Kate, why don't you take us into a formal introduction of Dr. Snooks and her involvement and the whole point of bringing this up, that Gun Violence Prevention Day of Action is coming up next week.
Yeah, so as many of you know, if you're familiar with our work, gun violence prevention is a big topic that we talk about a lot. Obviously, a lot of moms and community members are very concerned about this. And we got connected to Dr. Kelly Snooks a little while ago and have been working with her. She is a pediatric ICU doctor here in Milwaukee. And unfortunately, has seen her fair share of gun violence and has been working really hard along with other organizations and us to kind of advocate for safer gun legislation. And so it's really been interesting to get her view as a physician and seeing what she does. And we're really excited to have her on today and looking forward to working with her a little bit more as we, as you mentioned, Pat, as we look forward to the Gun Violence Prevention Day of Action coming up here in a couple of weeks.
And so that'll be something that'll be happening in Madison that we'll talk more about in just a sec here. Dr. Snooks, we introduced you earlier as somebody who, unfortunately, and we know all the good that you do and all the good that you want to do, but unfortunately, you also see some of the worst of it in terms of what gun violence has done to our kids. I don't want to start too dark here, but I also sometimes don't think you can start too dark in talking about the toll that you see in just your own, in your own world, that's taken on children because of preventable gun violence.
Yeah, you know, thank you guys for having me today. I think this is something that is so important to talk about. And like you said, you know, it's a dark thing, but it is something that we do need to talk about because it's now the number one cause of death for children in the United States. Firearm injuries in 2019 surpassed motor vehicle collisions to be the number one leading cause of death, which, you know, it's something that is preventable and it's something that we can really work together. I just, for background, did my training in pediatrics in Chicago, so I'm not naive to seeing gun violence and the effect that it takes on children. My first real exposure was a toddler that was shot in the head with an improperly stored firearm. And, you know, he was a lucky one to survive that injury. But since then, we've also seen the toll that it's taken from teenagers who have taken their own lives due to firearms, or children that have been the victims of interpersonal violence in their communities. So, you know, it really is a alarming statistic that we're seeing. The city of Milwaukee has seen a nearly doubling of firearm-related injuries, and almost 15% of shooting victims have been children under 17 years old since the start of 2023. So it's really something that we're seeing firsthand at the bedside. And, you know, for me, there's only so much that I can do with modern medicine. And it's really, you know, we have to take that upstream approach and work with legislators and policymakers in the community to take a little bit different outlook on it. And that's why I've been a little bit more passionate about it over the little bit of time here.
And before we turn back over to Danielle, the last thing I'd put in, and it's, again, it's hardly even a question, but it just, I'm just teeing this up for you. So much of what you're seeing is preventable. It's preventable. It's preventable. On so many levels.
Yeah, exactly. It's preventable.
Mm-hmm. Danielle?
Yeah, I mean, thank you so much for sharing a perspective that, you know, a lot of us really, really don't see. So we really appreciate you giving us that, you know, sobering point of view. So, you know, like we talk about how preventable this all is, what would you say are some no-brainer laws that we could pass that would immediately have an impact in reducing firearm injury and death in all levels of the community, but particularly with our kids?
Yeah, so when we talk about laws that are related to firearms, a common term you'll hear used is called gun sense legislation. And there's a wide range of what that can actually mean. But some of the laws that come to mind that would really help when you think about firearms and the effects that it's having on children are extreme risk laws and safe storage laws, and also background checks. And that's just to name a few. Extreme risk laws are also known as red flag laws, and those are laws that allow immediate family members and law enforcement to petition for a court to order the temporary removal of guns from individuals that may pose a risk to themselves or to others. In states where these laws have already been adopted, there's been a decrease in the amount of deaths due to suicide by firearms, and we know that's significantly impacting young Americans. And then another piece of legislation comes to safe storage laws, which also would help prevent suicide, but also helps prevent, you know, again, like we talked about, preventable deaths in children. So about one third of children in America live in homes with firearms in them, and almost half of those firearms are improperly stored. And just to put it out there, the safest way to store a firearm is unloaded, locked, with the ammunition stored separately. So almost 4.6 million children in the United States live with firearms that are improperly stored. If we had safe storage laws, which Wisconsin does, we can talk a little bit more about kind of what was introduced in the legislative area here. But With safe storage, about one third of youth gun suicides and unintentional deaths could be prevented with those safe storage laws. And that would save about 251 lives in a single year. And just to put it in perspective, that's three school buses full of children that could be saved with safe storage laws.
Yeah, that really is something that it does seem like a no-brainer to me as a parent too, and something we talk about sometimes that, you know, sometimes it's uncomfortable, but being a parent is definitely not about being comfortable all the time. I think, as we know, is as your kids get a little bit older and they're going off to play dates and things like that, texting the parents ahead of time, asking if they have any firearms in this home and confirming that they're secured. And I guess when children get a little bit older, many of our kids now are from a very young age. I mean, I have a toddler who, you know, they're already doing active shooter drills. So kids are exposed to this really early, and even having conversations with them as they do get a little older and they're away from the home or in other areas, just that they're keeping an eye out for these things if they ever see anything to let you know. And I think, yeah, safe storage is one of those things. It is one of the bills that we're going to be talking about on the 21st in September, strengthening that. I think there's a tax incentive component to it. For firearm dealers to kind of encourage people who are purchasing firearms to also purchase safe storage solutions. So please continue to call your legislators about that. We're really hoping to get everybody on board with that. Kelly, I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about, I know we've talked about also community violence intervention programs. Can you talk a little bit about the perspective of that from a physician's perspective and how you see those type of programs helping within the hospital setting?
Yeah, so I think, like I mentioned earlier, right, there's only so much that we can do at the bedside. And again, all of this is preventable. So that's where community violence intervention, and actually there's also hospital-based programs as well that really work to mitigate a lot of the violence in the community. So Milwaukee is very well supported by these programs, and also with the state of Wisconsin. So these programs provide youths and adults who have been affected by interpersonal violence with social and emotional support. There's also youth mentoring, and then mental health and medical services as well. And then there are community workers who actually go into the communities to also provide the support to the communities. And those in the area of gun violence prevention and research have been proven to be invaluable tools, and actually are where a lot of that investment needs to be made. And there's areas for improvement as well here when we talk about things like this. You know, I've seen it firsthand at the hospital bedside, and these programs are amazing assets for families when it comes to gun violence prevention and providing the support even after an injury.
And kind of building on what Kate was talking about, how, you know, it's our job as parents to kind of get out of that comfort zone a little bit and reach out to, you know, other parents if our kids are going to be playing at their house, you know, and talk to them about, you know, if there are firearms, are they locked, you know, all of that. How would you say we should specifically be talking to our kids about these kinds of topics? You know, if they are, should we be talking to them about when they go to a play date, what they should be looking for, you know? Like, what are some things that we can do to, as parents, talking to our, you know, school-aged kids about safety?
Yeah, so that's a great question, and that's a tough one. And I think that's something that's going to be unique for every family and what your comfort level is. But, you know, as a pediatrician, I can talk to the children and how to speak with them. So I think first and foremost, like you guys have mentioned already, children know that gun violence is an issue. It's really, truly affecting them. You know, they're doing active shooter drills like we have never done. They are seeing it on the news and portrayed in media when it comes to gun violence, and kids at school are talking about it. So I think knowing that it's already out there and it's something that they are familiar with opens the door for a conversation. I think when it comes to talking with your kids about this, you know, making sure that they have a safe space to share their feelings openly and letting them express whatever feelings they might have, if it's anger, if it's sadness, if it's confusion, you know, really letting them work through those emotions, because there is no one way for kids to feel about this. I think also making sure that you as a parent let them know that you are there to support them and keep them safe is also something that you can talk about with them. And, you know, supporting them through things such as outlets that can be crafts or arts or music, writing or sports and things along those lines. So I think those are really the best ways to talk about it. And like you guys have mentioned already, this isn't all the children's responsibility. This also it's letting them know that it's not their responsibility to keep the guns safe. This is really something that falls on adults when it comes to safe storage. So making sure that you're asking parents before play dates and things like that. And I know we're a little bit limited on time, but to have these conversations, besmartforkids.org and everytown.org have great resources to really have those conversations with the families and your kids.
And let's make sure we make clear that we're not necessarily talking, you know, anti-gun. We always get the, oh, they're coming for our guns, confiscate the guns. Shut up. That's just my own personal editorial on that. That's not the case. If you are somebody who is in a household where hunting is a regular thing or where sports shooting is a regular thing, this is, again, something preventable in talking about safe storage and in teaching gun safety. You, the parent, can decide how to teach about gun safety or to not have guns in the house, but there are plenty of reckless things that you can do by omission, by not talking about safety, by not storing safely. Kate, let's go to the day of action coming up in Madison, September 21st. What's going to be going on there?
Yeah, so we're partnering with a bunch of other organizations in the gun violence prevention space on September 21st. There's going to be a day of action in Madison. It's going to be like a mostly all day thing. I think about like 9 to 3. And in the morning, we'll do some training about the different laws that are out there and how to speak to legislators about them. Just some tips and tricks there, kind of get to know everybody else who's there. There's going to be a lunch. And then in the afternoon, we're actually going to go over to the Capitol and have meetings set up that are going to be taken care of by WAVE, which is Wisconsin Anti-Violence group here. And we're actually going to go talk to the legislators that represent us. And we are going to, you know, just do some lobbying and talk to them about why these gun laws that are out there in the legislature right now are so important to us and so important to keeping the community safe, and hoping to have some like really great grounded conversations with them about asking for their support. And anybody can come. It's open to everybody. If you go to our Instagram profile and click on the link in our bio, there's a link right within there to sign up for it. So we really hope to see you there. We're getting a great group of people. And if you feel helpless about this topic, which I know so many of us do, the antidote to anxiety with it is action. So please join us.
Well, and the action, again, getting back to the whole preventable nature of it. And I guess what I'm trying to say from a lawmaker perspective is there are lawmakers at the state and federal level who want to just throw up their hands and say, well, what are you going to do? You know, there's so many different factors. Well, again, that doesn't mean you can't do something about the things that you can control. If you're a state legislator, there are things at the state level in statutes and programs. The same goes if you're a member of Congress. The same thing goes if you're a parent. But then as well, we have doctors who are doing their part for prevention, and they're doing that every single day. It's not just treating the wounded, but trying to let parents know that there are things they can do right now to make their child's world a little bit safer. And that's where we're so thankful again for Dr. Kelly Snooks for joining us today to talk all about that. Dr. Snooks, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, Pat.
Yep, Danielle, Kate, so great to see you both as well. Have a great start to the week.
You too. Bye.
Thanks, Pat.
All right. And again, check out Motherhood for Good on Instagram and learn more about the good things that they're doing, including Gun Violence Prevention Day of Action. Terry Bell and Three Things to Know to Start the Week, coming up next. You're up north.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
A delicious Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
you ever get tired of one-sided conversations? Have you changed the station due to mean-spirited rhetoric? Wouldn't it be refreshing to listen and engage in civilized dialogue about politics and how issues affect our families differently? Welcome to the Rational Revolution. I'm Chris Elfheim.
And I'm Emily Sefos. Together, we'll look at today's issues through a politically purple lens. So join us on Thursday evenings from 7 to 8 on WGBW, WISS, and the Civic Media app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Dan Schumacher going way back in the files here. I believe this is a 1969 music we got today, right?
Well, technically it would be 70 because it was part of the one of their greatest albums called Working Man's Dead. And it's a unique song, Pat. If you actually look at these lyrics, this most of the song is about a day of darkness, which is the state that the society's in. It's about the Vietnam War and stuff like that. And I'm like sitting here as I'm listening to you and Jacob's talk, this political world, this darkness has got to give, as the line says, man. It's just, wow.
It is. It's rough. And it's even reflected in interviews like this one, where what police station are you in and what are you being interrogated about? It's really, it's kind of dank there where you are. Are you at work or at home up there in Ashland?
I am at home right now. Okay. Pat, I'm actually going to have furniture delivered today.
I was going to say, put something on the walls there, man. Is there not a Northern College Athletics poster yet or something?
No, I do have a couple pictures of the kids, my kids. But
hey, speaking of name, image, licensing, does that apply to coaches as well? Can you get a deal and we can do like Dan Schumacher posters all over, endorsing this product or that product?
No, but we can't.
I'm just saying, I'm willing to be your agent on this. I sense an opportunity. Here, you said it was a dreary morning in Ashland, and again, that system is very slowly working its way across the northwestern corner of the state here. But again, that's what you expect for this kind of a season. As we, I don't know, do we do baseball? Let's do baseball first, and then football. Brewers won at Miami, took 3 out of 4, 4.5-game lead over the Cubs. They now have the Washington Nationals coming to American Family Field this weekend, so. And there's no excuse not to take, frankly, there's no excuse not to take 3 games of that series, but, two would be acceptable. What's the Cubs have a tougher road to hoe here, I would imagine.
They do, but they still have the inside track for that wild card. Mm-hmm. So, if they can get the wild card, I'd be happy with that. I think that'd be a successful season. I like they made a move here, last week? They brought up their top prospect to the ball club, and he had one hell of a first game, a couple of great catches. Guy's got blazing speed in center field. There's some upside to everything. But the Brewers are tough, man.
When they're firing, they sure are. Sometimes they just have a day where the bats go cold or the pitcher just can't quite get it done. But there were like two games this week between Corbin Burnes and Brandon Woodruff where they basically gave the bullpen the day off almost. So when you can get that kind of a break – that's a nice deal to have happen. But yeah, in terms of the wild card, I believe there are 4 teams all within a game and a half of each other for that wild card. So, for folks who are maybe old school purists and they're like, oh, why do we have these wild cards? Like, this is why. Now you've got a real chase going on at the end of the season.
But to comment further on the bullpen comment you just made, I was actually very upset with Council watching that game. Burnes goes 9 innings of a no-no.
Eight innings. Pulled him in the ninth.
And then the relievers give up the game.
Mm-hmm.
I, I don't know how I would react.
That has always been, that's been Council's way, because when Woodruff had that complete game shutout the next night or 2 days later, again, Council, that's only the fourth complete game shutout in the Craig Council era. He will pull the trigger right away. And he told Woodruff, you know, I'm going to pull you at 105 pitches. Well, thankfully he got the last out at 106 pitches. But that's just his way. And that, again, it's a real gamble. I mean, you look at the starters who have completely, you know, they were overused. You know, Steven Strasburg is having, you know, supposed to be, he announced his retirement. That guy was supposed to be the second coming. Yep. But I knew watching him pitch, he was a University of Texas, I think. And watching him pitch, I thought, I'll be amazed if he has a long career. And he didn't have a long career. He didn't have a shorter career as I thought he was going to have with the Nationals. But boy, those arms, I don't envy anybody who has to figure out the right balance of overuse or underuse of a pitcher, you know?
Right.
All right, let's get to football for a second here. Your NFC Central Division cellar dwellers are the Minnesota Vikings, 0-2 after losing to the Eagles 34-28. Four first half turnovers. Yeah. They are still definitely in what I call preseason mode.
Yeah, they didn't look good at all last night. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know what kind of audience they had last night, because it was on Amazon. You didn't even have it on the TV.
I was going to tell you about that. I would like to raise a glass right now to every poor bartender who found out, like, at the last second, it's on Amazon, and some bar owners know to have it and some don't, and their customers get mad at them. And I got to give it up for all of them, because whether they had it or not, I'm sure they weren't thinking about it till 7:15, and then are scrambling because nobody knows where to find games anymore. So the people that did tune in, and thankfully our friendly local watering hole guy, Chaz, was able to bring up the game. But yeah, if you were a Vikings fan, you were not happy.
No, not at all. There was, I went to a place that I had to go to two places to find it, because I don't have it at home here. So, I found a place that actually served a little pizza and got to watch the first half, and then home, following on my phone, live stats. But bad week of football for a couple of teams.
Yeah, go figure. Well, here's the thing. You poor, poor, suffering Bears fan. You can't even win at having the worst week ever. You thought on Monday morning, this is going to be the worst week ever. Bears fans are going to have it terrible. And all the TikTok videos of Bears fans cussing and screaming. You only got to have a bad week for one day. And then Aaron Rodgers goes down, and now it's Jets fans who are having the worst week ever. Bears fans can't even win for losing. I feel for you, man.
I did see yesterday Dan Pompeo, the Chicago Tribune sports writer, and he also covers the Bears quite extensively. I guess Mike McCaskey in Virginia went to Hallis Hall on Monday morning and had a private meeting with Poles and the head coach, that they were not happy losing that game. And Virginia McCaskey's, what, in the late 90s?
Yeah.
I mean, for her to get fired up and get upset and come all the way to Hallis Hall, that's like your grandmother coming to scold you, which is just worse than your mom.
I mean, between that and you know, Vikings fans who are also like, the ones in their 90s are like, could we win just one Super Bowl before I die? And, you know, for millions of Vikings fans who have passed on, the answer is no. No, you cannot. Packers play the Atlanta Falcons. They're in Atlanta. Noon game on Sunday. And then I definitely want to switch gears and point out that, again, the Badger women's volleyball team, number one ranked in the nation. They are in Florida, third ranked Florida. In Florida, Sunday afternoon, 2:00, that match is going to be on ESPN. And I'm sure up there at Northland College in Ashland, fall sports are getting going as well.
Yeah, I will give a plug. I would imagine by the end of today, no later than tomorrow, we will announce we did announce already a month ago the reinstatement of men's wrestling and the addition of women's wrestling, which is the fastest growing sport, a high school sport in Wisconsin right now. We'll announce the new head coach. A little teaser, he's a former Olympian, Olympic wrestler. So I'm excited about the hire and excited to where we're going to go with that program.
All right. Good luck with all that. Have a great weekend, Dan. Thanks so much.
See you guys.
All right. We will see you later. All right. Everybody have a great weekend out there. Follow me on social media, Pat Kreitlow Up North on Facebook, Pat Kreitlow on the Twitter, Up North News WI across the rest of media for Up North News Radio. Have a great weekend. See you Monday.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens.
Today, I am talking to the owner of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, my friend Truman McGee. From an environmentally friendly perspective, the fact that it's frozen means that it's not going to waste.
I am a cereal strawberry abuser. If you are fruit and you're watching this, stay away from me, okay? Do not jump in my shopping cart because I will let you die.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
You're listening to ABC the Talk News of Green Bay, WGNS.